Shalom, shalom everyone, shalom Brett, shalom Tahira. How is everyone doing? We haven't seen you for a while, Brett. How are things going for you?
Things are fine. I'm still proceeding to sell the property here, family property here, and I'll probably have that pretty well wrapped up here in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll start getting all our stuff moved and slowly moving my way towards Albuquerque. I think I may end up working up in Ohio again for a couple months this spring and then coming out, but I'm definitely headed that direction.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that sounds good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your family had like a farm or something, right? Do I remember right?
Yes. Well, actually, it's been quite a while since anybody's really done any farming, but the families lived on this property, or there was it was the acreage was divided, and we live on half of it now. And back when the original homesteaders were here, they did a lot of farming. Did farming up until when my grandfather grew up in a log cabin that's just down the road from us. And back in those days, when almost everybody grew most of what they ate. And then I had an uncle, a great uncle, that kept some of the farming and things going. But currently, there isn't anything going other than my little garden that I put out there this summer.
Brad, how about instead of you selling the land and moving here, why don't you keep the land and bring it down here with you? We could use some good farmland.
I've always thought that in the ideal world I would be able to live on this acreage, and then instead of going into the small town that's in here, I would be going into Rio Rancho,
right?
or something, the combination. It would be nice to have this size of property, probably on a little flatter ground, because even though we have a lot of acreage here, it's mostly up and down the side of the mountain and a lot of rocks, but That would be nice to have that kind of room out there, but hopefully we can get some kind of even a small piece out there and start in some more gardening. I really like that gardening that I did this summer.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, either maybe you can invent a teleporter. It seems either that or you'll have to move.
If I can invent a teleporter, as much as I like to travel, I'd be all over the universe.
Right. I've always thought the best use of a teleporter is put it at the bottom of a ski resort, so you don't have to take the chair. You just keep skiing forever.
That will be nice. So how is the market like? Do you get anyone interested in the land or?
Yes, I actually had a neighbor, the one that owned the other half of this original property, was thinking about doing something, and so that kind of started on the idea of, my father hasn't really wanted to move, and I've been over 10 years here kind of helping him out and finally, between his health and my wanting to move out there, and it finally convinced him that we want to do something different. But she backed out of it, and then I just stuck a sign on the mailbox and sold it about a week later. It's one of those things like anything else. Even when the market's weak, all you need is that one person. And it turned out this was a person that had been up and down this road many times over the last 30 years, and has an uncle that owns some property not too far from here that he's hunted on, about 30 acres he hunted on down by the creek. And so what he saw come up for sale, and he called me immediately, and he said he couldn't believe it because he admired this house and admired this property for years, and he jumped at the opportunity to buy it. So and he's been real cooperative on everything, and we've been able to keep the cost down because he doesn't we haven't had any real estate agents or banks or inspectors or surveyors or anything. He just trusts me on letting him know what's wrong with the house and knowing where the property lines are, And so he's even said that in the future, if anybody, you know, any one of our family wants to come by and visit, they're welcome to come out to the property, or we even welcome, he said he's going to give us keys, keep the keys to the house that we have now. We're welcome to come out and stay at the house. So it's been really a pretty good experience on that.
It's good news.
That's cool. Yeah.
Salam, Kirsha.
Yeah, salam.
Salam, everyone.
So how's the mission been going for all of you in your corners of the area? I mean, your corners of the world, your areas of the corner.
Yeah,
your world of the corner.
If I could say, of course, if I can say, because I'm always saying, but I'm praying about whether to stay here in Asheville or to move out to New Mexico to see what, you know, what the Lord wants me to do in the next year or so. But I wanted to offer that I do have a two-bedroom, two-bath condo, and if anybody from the mission or if anybody knows anybody else from the mission or even someone that's a really good friend of someone from the mission that wants a room and a bathroom and a walk-in closet, I can give them a really good God deal. This may not be the time and place for that, but it would be great to have someone else here that wants to do mission activities and stuff like that. So I wanted to bring that up, if I might. And so thanks, God.
Sure. No, that's kind of like creating a community, you know. And
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you could even post that in Facebook if you wanted. Like, even if you don't want to put it on your profile, you could put it on one of our groups, you know, and just see.
Yeah, I was going to post it in the next newsletter for sure.
Oh, that's a good idea too, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, because Maitreya has said that Asheville is a safe place. I mean, I'm not saying that for sure that I'm going to stay in Asheville, but I'm open to whatever, so we'll just see how God steers things. So, yeah.
We need both. I mean, you know, for some people, we always say that people have to come to this, you know, to the Rio Rancho, that'd be the best, but there are always exceptions. It's not true for everyone. We need new centers starting in other places, too, just like, you know, Eunice's life has been guided to where he could have come here, and he just wasn't able to because of how his life was. So it seems like, at least at this time, he's supposed to be over there, you know. Wouldn't you say?
I shouldn't speak for you. Yeah, but that's okay because I don't see clearly which way God wants me to go yet. So I'm kind of putting it up in the air and putting things out there and seeing what happens. So thanks God for that.
Thanks God.
And also, we're on the subject of housing. I've been looking almost every day on Craigslist just to get an idea of houses and rents and the areas and that in Albuquerque. In particular, I've been looking, trying to see if I can find something in Rio Rancho. And so I probably won't be coming out till, I'm guessing, June, because if I, with the way the economy is, I'd rather take advantage of this opportunity to work again up in Ohio in the spring and then come out in June. And so if anybody knows out there, you know, kind of keep your ears and eyes open on a home, you know, somewhere hopefully in Rio Rancho, and I'm also looking for at least one bedroom on a bottom floor for my father. He's getting even, you know, slower and slower at getting around. And so I'm getting a pretty good idea by looking on Craigslist every day and kind of get an idea of the area and what's available, and hopefully I'll be out there, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of the mission.
Sounds like a good plan. And yeah, we'll let you know if we see anything for sure. But
yeah,
you're gonna. I mean, I don't think it'll be too. There are a lot more sellers than buyers right now, I can tell you. That it's a good buyer's market. So hopefully you'll get a good deal.
Yeah, well, I'm actually just looking to rent.
Oh, right. It's a good renter's market, too, I think. So.
Yeah, I think from what I'm seeing, and that's just looking at Craigslist. In fact, I've been getting the Sunday paper, Albuquerque Sunday paper, sent out to me. That there looks like there's a pretty long list of houses there that are all something that we would be able to work into. And then even if I end up in something, because we have a little bit of money from this sale, that if we go out and err a little bit on, you know, if it's a little expensive for the first year on a lease, but it would give me an idea of the area, and I don't want to go the other way around and end up in a place that my father won't be comfortable in, and that. So I've been looking around. There's usually a pretty long list of houses, and there's almost always a pretty good list of houses in the Rio Rancho area, and that was part of that visit last year where I, you know, was able to stay, you know, was out there for quite a while and kind of got a feel for the area. And so I should be, I think I'll be all right on finding something that'll suit our needs.
Like, what are the average rents go for then, Brett, if you know, like, if you have an idea, could you tell us?
Yeah, the and kind of, and it's, again, like anything else, it's going to depend on the areas. But
right.
A home, 2 and 3 bedroom homes, and what I can tell, it's kind of the modern technology's taken a lot of the guesswork out of it, because I can go on Google Earth and fly over the area, mm-hmm. and then drop myself in front of the house and actually walk up and down the street, you know, virtually, kind of take a look at the neighborhood. And so from what I've been seeing in Rio Rancho's, it'd probably be a little more expensive what I would do out there by myself, but my father and I can split some of the expenses. The usually for something pretty nice, it's between about $800, maybe on the lower end for something, and then, you know, 2 and 3 bedrooms and what looks like a, you know, pretty nice home. And then you can get into really nice homes, a lot nicer than I've ever lived in, for $1,100 a month. And if you want the $1,200, you're getting into places that might even be something we would do in the future if we had 2 or 3 people that were splitting something in a fairly large home with, you know, 2 baths and maybe even 2 living areas. And you can get into some really nice, you know, newer homes out in the northwest part of Rio Rancho that are maybe $1,200 a month, but if you were to split that 3 ways, it would be pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are houses, right, not apartments.
Yeah, most of the apartments are less than that, but at least for the first year, my father really, you know, part of the kind of helping him make the adjustment from where we're at, he would rather not live in an apartment, and unless, mm-hmm. I think unless we found maybe a 55 and over community, or something that he might feel comfortable in. The apartments are in Rio Rancho. They're about $600 or $700, I think, for, you know, a 1 bedroom, 2, maybe a little, you know, depending. Again, it's all from looking at the pictures. You know, there's a huge jump in there sometimes for only $200 a month, and the really nice 2 bedroom apartments are like $1,000 or $1,100. But I one thing I did notice is that almost every apartment listing that I looked at has a swimming pool with it, and that's what I do for a living. And so I may go out there and find out who's managing these pools and how the companies are handling it, and be able to offer them a management package where I could come in and I know from my experience that I can cut costs in almost any management place after managing this country club pool for a couple of years, and noticing in general how the industry there's a somewhat of an ignorance or maybe even a conspiracy in the industry as far as how they go about things and how people spend money on these commercial pools. And if I could offer somebody a management package and maybe include a rent, you know, or they supply me with one of the apartments, you know, in one of the buildings that I would take care of the pool, well, then I may end up in an apartment or a condo as part of that package, as part of making an incentive for them to hire me, would be that they would be able to pay me partly with a residence. But there's a pretty big difference between, I believe in it, was Central Avenue and over in some of the, over by Old Town, some of those areas there where you probably wouldn't want to live, which the rents are pretty cheap until you get up in towards the foothills and up a little bit higher where they're, you know, there's a little more higher end apartments. But it all in all, it doesn't seem to be too bad as far as it's not like you know, some kind of resort area or something. So most of them seem to be fairly reasonable. And I'm pretty sure from what I'm seeing, there's quite a bit of, and even some new homes in Rio Rancho when the buildings slowed down that they probably put up and didn't sell, and now they've turned into rentals. And so you see come across those too.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, there is a lot of variation, I'm guessing, probably between in terms of location. Like if you're in a central area in Rio Rancho, but just like Tahir was talking about, there's a huge amount of land that they were developing like crazy on, and then the market crashed, and so there are all sorts of houses and stuff like way out, you know, 20 minutes outside of the city that have nothing around them now because they were expecting development to come and they didn't. So depending on what you're willing to go for, I bet you could find a very wide range of, you know, quality and development and price.
One of the areas I kind of like was those areas out there because I'm kind of going from middle of nowhere here and, you know, pretty wide open. Into I really don't want to. I mean, I grew up and where I stay at my sister's in Cleveland is you know, really dense in a metropolitan area. Now, most of the developments there, whether it be for practical reasons or whatever the architecture, most of the houses there are house, and not much yards. But if you go up into that northwest part that you're talking about, Rio Rancho, there's isolated subdivisions that were filled up, and then when you go outside of that, there's 10 miles of coyotes.
Exactly.
And so that might be something that, you know, I was telling my dad that, well, we could move out into there, and even though we'll be back into a city atmosphere, all he has to do, you know, all we have to do is go out the door and drive out the road a little bit, and you see mile after mile of streets with they marked them streets on the Google Earth, but there's nothing there but dirt tracks.
Yep. And Tahir is asking if there's any new development around that area. When she went to the Kings of the Feast a couple of years ago, she saw that there's a couple of things being built in the area. But no, not much else new to hear. The hospital will be finished this year, and not much new is being built around it. Maybe after it's complete, we'll see. But really, we're still very much in the recession. There's very little is happening still. So, not yet.
Now, is that the new, I see in some of the advertisement, the Presbyterian Rest Hospital?
No, the Presbyterian Rest Hospital is about 10 minutes even farther into the city, and that was completed, I think, last year. It's also a very nice hospital. And then there's a UNM hospital, which is currently in construction, which is much farther out. They put the new Rio Rancho City Center right smack dab in the middle of where the development was supposed to be. And so now there's a city center, a university campus, a sports complex, or like a convention center, and a hospital, and nothing else around it for like, you know, so it's kind of like a little pocket of development that was left over from before the recession that is being finished.
Yeah, that's where I've been looking quite a bit because I kind of like that, you know, that idea of being out that way, and there was actually quite a few newer homes that were fairly reasonable rents, and that was out there near the Star Center, and that's what I'm saying. There's like a little islands out there surrounded by
exactly.
Sagebrush.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Actually, something Brad had said earlier about looking on Google Maps for apartments. I wanted to. We read an article a couple months ago that they somehow took a survey of like burglars and thieves and found that over half of them now use Facebook and Twitter and Google Maps as part of their tools. Like, they don't have to go and scope out a place before they rob it. They just check Google Maps first, and they can walk around and all that. And if you post on Facebook, like, I'm going on vacation for this week, that's a bad idea, especially if you share your updates with everyone. If you keep your updates private to friends, it's not so big a deal. But just be aware.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go help mom for just a second, so I'll be back.
Yeah, I did notice that when I go on the Google Earth and look at these neighborhoods, I think, well, this is really nice. But then I think, like you're saying, there are so many ways that could be abused because you can start casing out places and how to go in and out and things like that. So it's like any of the other technology. You can go both ways with it.
Yeah. It's very useful, though. Like, I'm at this part of the world, and as you said, like, just can see, like, what's going on. And anywhere in the United States, very useful. So you might be in Rio Rancho by summer and have a new life starting, huh?
Yes, because it, seen a lot of with the as I've gotten older, as a long-time self-employed, and my skill set is pretty narrow, but would be valuable. But it in you know in a depending on what's available. Again, it's one of those things you never know what you're going to hit. Or given my older age, but I'm still not afraid because I've done it before. Is to come in and make my own job. You know, I create my own. You know, there's a certain market there, and get a certain percentage of that market. And for me, because I don't really have much needs, that's why I'm thinking of perhaps trying to get something that may involve my overhead, because there's so many apartments and so many complexes that have swimming pools in them. And the other bigger problem, I technically have a job because a place in Ohio in Cleveland would hire me full time or will allow me to do what I did for years for another firm, and that was to work just the springs and the falls. And so I may end up with a long commute of living in New Mexico and then still coming back to Ohio to work 10 weeks at a time, depending on what I find to work there, because it paid well enough that it kept me going, and then, depending on just what I can get there. And so I don't know, I want to stay there full-time, but I may end up with the world's longest commute with about 1,700 miles. But I've been doing it here in Ohio, where I worked here and then came down to stay here. And the only difference in that commute was that this one's just easier, as far as driving. It's about 300 miles, and then I would go up there and work for 10 weeks and then come back down here and then go back up there for 10 more weeks in the fall. And so I may have put something with that. But the other bigger problem I have is the more I investigated into the water management part of it, the more I found out that almost all the retail stores are again, I don't know if it's partly ignorance on the industry, but it is ignorance driven by my greed or by wealth, is that most of the pool stores and most of the pool store chemicals and what they sell, I guess you could call it a gray area, is chemicals they need to use, but they're grossly overpriced, and you can buy them somewhere else like Walmart for about a third of the price. And so one of the things I thought, well, if I worked in a retail store, that, that I, with my experience and knowledge, almost all retail stores have some old guy haunting around in there that knows everything about stuff but can't go out and work anymore. And so I thought, well, that might be my new finish out my career like that. But now I can't do it because I couldn't stand in a store and sell people stuff at three times the price when I know they could go out the door and buy it down at the hardware store. And so it actually eliminated quite a big, what would have been an opportunity for employment. It eliminated that. Unless I want to go in and be dishonest. So that's why it kind of made that a little bit of a dilemma where, it took out a certain percentage of what I could do in the future. And so then I'm looking more and more of the idea of trying to go in. And it doesn't take much for a small guy to, just an individual to find enough swimming pools to do maintenance on in order to provide one person a living, because the outfit that I worked in Ohio, they take care of about 350 swimming pools, but they also employ 25, 30 people. And so they were talking about at certain rates and certain amount that how many pools you need for one individual, and broke that down. It's actually a good thing that I worked with them last fall, because it just gave me that much more knowledge on their management. But I also found out that part of what they were managing was incorrect as far as the chemicals. Again, something that I think if I go to, I don't think there's that many residential pools in Albuquerque for the population, but there is still an awful lot of commercial opportunities. And being a single, just one person and not having a family and children and things that, I don't really need that much. And plus, in my spare time, I'd rather go backpacking, which is cheap. Is that I could be able to go out there and then just see what I can do, to try to maybe create a spot, big enough spot for myself in there.
Hopefully, you'll be guided. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Find something.
So anything.
No, you might get like two more people there by summer, huh? Looks like Brad and maybe even Kyosha.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
I was I was going to say to keep it open as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, if I end up in mm-hmm. New Mexico, and Brad, if you're, you know, if it works out where there's a house with like four bedrooms or something like that, whatever, you know, I'm open to something like that as well. So, we'll, you know, I'm just going to kind of go with the flow here and see what happens. So.
Yeah, and that's part of what I've been looking at two or three bedroom places, and I may even, and there's not too much of a difference in the cost, at least not in, you know, not if we go out there and my father will realize some of the equity from his property. He's not the sole owner. He's actually one-third owner of it. But also on the idea that my sister and my brother-in-law are retiring and they're going to come out for some visits, and then the idea of yourself or anybody else that would want to come out either for an extended stay or to move out and have some place to stay immediately until they, you know, went into their own place, or that idea that, you know, somewhere in the future that we would have enough room, you know, maybe have a place like that, or just know the market and know what we can do as far as I looked at some of the larger places with the, looks like the square footage is really, really big, and even have you know, plenty of extra room in there, the four bedrooms. If you split those, you know, three and four ways, it really wouldn't be that expensive. So hopefully in the future, you know, we can get enough people out there that we'll be able to do something like that and, you know, keep the overhead down low, and then maybe find a small piece of property to grow some food on, and then, you know, that way we can keep the expenses down.
Yeah, it all sounds really good to me, all of it. So I'm open to whatever. Thanks, God. It's just nice to see how things are going in each individual's, you know, little place, and how things might lock in together. So it's going to be neat to see mm-hmm. how things develop.
How are things going in all your individual places? How that? anyone interested in the mission recently, or anything particularly interesting in the snippets past couple times that you've noticed? Want to talk about anything of note?
The snippets were great, and then also in my individual area, Maverick visited from Texas for 4 days, and we celebrated a Sabbath here together, and also it was pretty cool because he gave me a Hariam Sherry Hung CD, which worked until 2 days ago. It was great driving around in my car almost 100% of the time listening to that. It was wonderful, but it's my CD player stopped working, so.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a few on my little music player. I use sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, there's going to be an old college friend of mine coming down too in mid-January. We're gonna,
awesome.
I'm gonna kick the mission through his head the whole week. He's gonna never come back. It's gonna be great.
He's like, what got into you, Noor?
Or what got into him? After spending the time with Noor, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it like a roommate or something, or just
classmate? old roommate, and he's one of like two people that I've still kept in touch with, and he's the one I've gone on trips with, you know, and he's coming back again, so apparently he's not tired of me kicking it through its head, so I'll do it some more.
Yeah, that's nice. So great.
Anything else? Anyone hand out any cards recently? Give the website to somebody?
Well, of course, on the social networks, we're all giving out the website.
Right, right. That's mm-hmm. that's more of the... That's where you all spend most of your lives, it seems like. You guys are always...
Yeah, how's Facebook going? Is it... It slowed down after we posted those... warnings, right?
The group did, yeah, I guess so. But yeah. Elvira seems to be on 28 hours a day. She just posts things everywhere. So. So.
Yeah. It's unbelievable how you know, Facebook and others just spread. to the
I still enjoy Facebook, and I found a new network called Spiritual Transformation Network. I'm not sure if I have that name exactly right, but I will put it in the newsletter. But anyways, I joined another new spiritual network. So.
Yeah, I found something called... Interesting. Okay.
Cool. What?
I Googled what you said. I found something, so that could be it.
Oh, okay. So maybe I did say it right.
Yeah, there are a million networks. We just, we sort of got stuck on Facebook, which is not a bad thing. It's by far the biggest, but there's always new ones. So, and of course, I think you guys, we've talked about this before, but that first network we started on, do you remember, what was it called? Alliance for New Humanity. That's gone. It's completely gone. It was taken down. So that's one of the rare occasions when something that we did won't last forever. But most of the time, you'll find stuff 10 years later still on the internet.
Yeah.
That's great. And Tahara says she's mostly using Facebook and Twitter, which I use Twitter as well.
Twitter is tough because, like, I don't know. It doesn't go as far. It, like, if you don't have a lot of people following you, it doesn't go quite as far as the others, which is too bad. But if you can get a lot of followers, it goes super far. So.
Yeah, like, it gets used pretty, like, in a way, I think it sounds pretty funny to me. Like, people follow, I don't know, celebrities, and they tweet something, they post something, they say, oh, I'm doing this now.
Did you guys see that joke a few times ago about Twitter in the snippets? The guy that was being interviewed on Conan. Do you remember that?
I think I did, but I don't remember it.
About how everything people look at everything through their telephones now, so when Christ returns, they're all gonna be oh my gosh, yeah, Christ, right in front of me. I got a twit pic.
That was funny, yeah. Who was that guy? I didn't know him though.
His name is Louis C.K. He's mostly pretty vulgar, but he was on television, so he had to be clean, so it was actually funny.
Yeah, that was very funny. Yeah. But yeah,
there was a good joke on Facebook about reincarnation. Because now, with lots of people believing in reincarnation, instead of putting rest in peace on your gravestone, they joke that you put BRB. Be right back.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that when you posted that. That was funny.
Be right back.
Alrighty, guys. We need a topic. What have you guys been itching to talk about for a month? Anything? Anything in your mind about life in the past month, politics, anything that you thought, you know, I would wonder what the mission has to say about that. What other people in the mission would
say. Yeah. What do you guys think about what's going on with Senate and the House and the cuts and everything? Okay. Nothing.
No takers on that topic.
The only reason I know anything about that is because my dad watches Fox News about 5 hours a day, and he talks about it. But I have almost no interest in it because I keep telling him that, you know, that's all over with. You know, as far as it, and I said, I think all those politicians work for the same thing. You know, he thinks that one group or another is going to do this or that, and I say, well, if one group or the other was any good at what they were doing, we wouldn't be in the messes that we're in right now. That I think the shots are really called by the most powerful, whatever you want to call them, shadow governments or, you know, cartels or, you know, groups or whatever that have the most money and have the most political influence. And so I just see the whole thing as you know, heading where we've been talking about heading. We're just heading for more trouble, and it's not going to straighten itself out. And the the kind of the hard thing to think about sometimes, and I think I said, well, I can straighten it out. They put me in charge, because the idea is that when you look at all the it's a matter of logistics. You know, it's where we concentrate our money and where, you know, all the things that go on in the world, and, you know, we keep hacking at the branches instead of the roots. And when you look at the idea that until we all get on one page and really understand, you know, what the eternal divine path is, that we're not going to straighten it out. We're not going to straighten it out with all this politics, and that it would actually straighten itself out pretty easily if everybody had the same goal, because that's the problem. All the greedy people doing one thing, and you know, then everybody fights over the politics and all the things that are going on. But I look at it as a matter of logistics, like maybe my businessman attitude that says, well, I would prioritize the problems of the world and straighten them out. Like, my dad looks at me kind of funny, and I go, it is just a matter of we have the abilities. I mean, you have the abilities to provide, you know, comfort and food and that to the whole world. And if we took the kind of money that we put into the fighting and the greed and all the wealth and all the different things, you really could, you know, create the community of heaven on earth. But we're not heading that way right now. I think that the politics is just politics is normal, and it's just ego is normal.
A lot of people are interested in the candidate Ron Paul, you know, because he doesn't seem to be a politician. He seems to be more of a just like a. Ron Paul's like one who made that video, right? The video that spread. Ron Paul. Let's see.
Yeah, he's a physician, I guess.
And he also my cousin that I call my conspiracy cousin, that sees the conspiracy in everything. Even though I think there is conspiracy in a lot of things, you know, when he sees the, you know, the whatever you want to call it running the world, if it's the Illuminati or the Bilderbergs or the Rockefellers or whatever, he showed me some videos and showed me some books he had with Ron Paul, and he's actually and I don't know what. If he's part of the grand scheme, but he seems to be out of that, because he actually wrote some pretty scathing books and reports on the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is one of those groups that if you look at them, it really is truly just a big greedy group that, you know, that runs things for their own good. Everybody in the country, they gave them the word federal in there to make them think that there's something to do with the government or not. They're the private group that probably is part of the group that runs, you know, runs the major events of the world. And so when you see Ron Paul coming up in there, that makes you think the idea that he's probably not part of that group, and that may even be part of the change, you know, just like the occupiers, if they're going to say their overall message is the greed, and if you have somebody like Ron Paul that comes up with this popularity because he's trying to be completely out of the existing group. You know, none of those other guys, in fact, you know, some of those candidates used to work for the Federal Reserve, which automatically marks them as being evil in my mind, because if you study the Federal Reserve, you know that it is evil. But when you see Ron Paul increasing in those polls, then that gives you that idea that maybe we are in that part of social revolution, because he would never even get off the ground, and most of the time, and now he's gaining popularity.
Still, though, it seems unlikely that he'll actually win whether or not you ascribe that there's a group behind it, or just that politics requires a certain neutral stance and wiffle-waffling kind of and making everything look good. Either way, it means that the politicians who really take a stand will not be elected at this point in history. So.
What do you guys think the Paraviprus will do if they were in charge?
That's part of what I think about often, because I'm kind of like the cartoon with the vulture standing on the branch, you know, with nothing to eat, and one says to the other, you know, the heck with this, I'm going to kill something, you know, like it's time for some action, you know, kind of thing. And that's where I think that if the Paraviprus were in charge, they would simply see the logistics of what's going on. You can see the people that are suffering. You can see the division. You can you can see that the whether or not there is a 1% that runs the world in the greed, that there is enough in the world for need, you know, not for greed. And so that would be one thing. You would have to take away that power of the – there's too much power. There's got to be somewhere between, you know, freedom and then and just being how, you know, how free do you want to be to the point where the power of the greedy is what's ruling everything. And so I think the first thing you would do would be to have to just go to the suffering, because that's the worst thing. It's hard to understand that. You know, at the UN and all these different groups and all these people with the mega dollars and the kind of communication we have, you can find the suffering very easily in the world. But the real, is there a real, you know, war on suffering or something like that? Have the war on drugs and the war on poverty and these things. There's no, you know, one, you know, something like the UN or something, is they're just corrupt now. And they're just corrupt with money and power. And so I think the first thing you would do would be have to start up something like the United Nations and then have an honest effort to alleviate that very first, the very basic thing of humanity, and then go from there.
But if we have the Paravipras in charge, that will mean that we have a world government and the regions maybe and their governments and communities of light. And if something like this were to happen, like, that means we are at the business cycle. So just we are now at the end of it, the business cycle, the business people made everyone else, the Shudras, Kshatriyas, and intellectuals, all they're like, almost like they're slaves. So, and it just came to the end. So basically, if the Paravipras were in charge, they would want to make this a smooth transition to the new era. So, as Kiyosha just said, they should probably redistribute the wealth, maybe, you know, not allow individual ownership, and take the wealth from the, just like you said, from the banks, from those guys who run Federal Reserve, Wall Street, or whatever, and redistribute to the people that will maybe have new ideas. Like maybe in this case, in our case now, maybe space exploration, finding more resources, bringing wealth to more people, you know, making people, just like Tahira said, like independent, growing their own food, making them kind of like independent with energy and food. So people will be more relaxed and new ideas will come up and the business cycle will transact, have this transaction to the new ideas, exploring the space maybe, and, you know, make people come together and work for one common goal, purpose, and that will require people just, like the Shudras work, and then maybe we will need Kshatriyas to go out and explore for the first time, and intellectuals work for that, so we'll bring unity. So probably If they come in and now hand over the world to Maitreya and the mission, we probably won't work with the old, like the United Nations and all that, but it should go from like the communities of light and the system and to all up.
It's interesting because, yeah, you know, the teaching is that the transition is going to happen whether or not the Paravipras are there. The only difference is whether it happens simply and quickly and smoothly or violently and slowly. And you can absolutely see many of the things that are already happening now. Like the 99% is an example of the very beginning of the Shudra Revolution. You know, nothing, it's petered out, right? And it's probably the next, you know, couple, maybe 10, 100 things like it will maybe not do much, but it's starting. And it'll eventually reach a critical mass until you get to where Egypt was. And then even in Egypt, you saw the class cycle happen instantly, you know, and now the Kshatriyas are back in power, and the Shudras are again revolting. So it's, and other things too, like the wealth is not redistributed, but so much of the power is being brought back to small business people and to the people through technology tools, which which I'm sure is God's doing. It never would have been expected, you know, through things like social media. It's so easy to make a website now. Cloud computing is so cheap. All of these things allow for startups to do things that never they could have done before, not even close. You know, you need to be a big company to access the kind of resources that small companies can now. And it will continue to go. If you guys have been reading about 3D printers, you know, if that takes off, that the idea is that the printer will actually print an object, like made of different materials and stuff. Like you can print, you know, glasses. You can print. So it's no longer an assembly line, right? You don't need a huge company with big industrial plants to create something. You just need a 3D printer and make your model. That completely, again, takes the power away from large corporations and brings it back to the people. So it's happening, but it's not going to be smooth without the Paravipras. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God is everything, huh?
Yeah.
Because I think the problem, and that's the reason why you would have Paravipras, the problem is in the ego or even in the honesty of a lot of the people in the business world. And so when you start having the large corporations that will purposely squash the small ones and do things to them to keep them from being competitive or to put them out of business, then you really don't have the true freedom. I mean, it looks like you do, but that's one reason the car industry's, you know, narrowed down. As they got more money, you know, they would do things to put the small ones out of business or buy them out, or, you know, all the different things that they do. Even the, you know, pharmaceutical companies that purposely put out, you know, they put out products they know that they're going to have the side effects, but they'll make a bunch of money in the beginning and pay the fines and do things like that. And so that'll be the difference in if it's over, the oversight is actually good spiritual people that aren't corruptible and fair, then you can have this idea of spreading that spreading some of these companies out, and it would make much more sense if you had, you know, thousands of people making the money off of the companies instead of just one or two people or you know these companies that, you know, there's a small group that makes almost all the money. And then that redistribution is something that would make a huge difference in the well-being of the world.
It's all about the sweet spot. It's funny. It's so much of life seems to be about finding the sweet spot, because that was not bad for a long period of time. Like, you know, the consolidation of power and stuff in business, it had a lot of advantages too. The food is cheap, you know. It's poison, but it's cheap. It's never been this cheap, you know. And one thing that seems to happen a lot is that people get so disillusioned by what's in the current realm that they throw out both the good and the bad in it. Like, there are a lot of food people now that are saying, we have to go back to the horse and buggy, you know, no electricity, no... You know, and if you ever even consider making it a business, they say, all right, forget it. You've already become one of those people. Like, you know, it's or in the civil rights movement, I've always noticed that you're not allowed to say like different but equal anymore, because the backlash has gone so far. Because that was used for a bad purpose, you know. But it doesn't. So now everyone's the same. Men and women are the same. All the races are exactly the same. If you say that they're different but equal, then you're a racist. It's just not true. It's going too far the other way. You know, business is not bad. It's just gotten too big and too corrupt at this point. You know, people are different.
The competition was good in some ways. You know, like when you're saying the competition of the businesses, because it made things progress. Mm-hmm. But then when it got narrowed down and too many people were making money off of it, with the one percenters making all the money, then that was the bad part of it. But there was nothing wrong with most of the people in the world today, especially in the United States, if they went back 100 years, you know, and saw how people live, they would be, you know, thankful for the technology and the progress.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Every time I take a hot shower, that's one of the most amazing things, hot water on demand. That's incredible. Thanks, God.
That's it. My father often talks about, because I'm Scotch-Irish, and he says, oh, they were dirty people and all this, you know, reputation of not taking showers. I go, I don't think anybody took a bath back in those days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we have to be different from everyone, right? We're not reactionary. We take the good from all sides. And we're not afraid to, you know, to be different than everyone else.
I think one of the things that makes a difference is a commonality of the goal. And that's one of the things that I like about the mission and understanding that would be the highest goal. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you take any kind of factory and, you know, everybody does what they want to do, they're never going to produce anything. And even though we have to sort out the good from the bad as far as the technology and sort out the system, but if we have a common goal, then that would be the bottom line. It's kind of how I look at things sometimes. It's, you know, simplify it. Well, is this with that system or would be the, you know, things that we do in the future, are they working towards that, you know, the goal of the mission, you know, the goal of life? And so once that was seen and once that becomes understood worldwide, well, then the other things may fall into place a lot easier, because then I just think if, you know, you could change the world by making everybody honest. You know, if everybody just was honest, because I think of all the dishonest things that go on constantly.
Absolutely.
And you think of all the money that's wasted through, you know, all the stealing, and then you watch these programs where they're, you know, all the drugs and all the work on the drugs and all the wars and all these different things, and thinking, well, look at all the money that's wasted in the world and effort that's wasted in the world, versus the idea that if everybody even was just honest and you know, worked honest, you know, in their daily lives, what a difference it would make. But I think that singleness of goal, you know, in the future will be the thing that underlines everything, and I think that's what will change the dynamics, because it's always been kind of an evolution over the years between the spirit and the technology, and when they merge together, then I think that's what we'll have in the future.
It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And in good technology like the balloons and fireworks and stuff like that, if people had a common goal, like, you know, like we do at the mission, then that money could be filtered, you know, in ways that it would benefit the goal rather than, you know, people having something extraordinary to do in their spare time.
Even humans have discovered the advantages of having a common goal. That's kind of the point of patriotism and stuff like that, you know, is you get everyone united under a common goal, you can accomplish amazing things. But the problem is everyone wants it to be around their goal. That's why there are a million nonprofit organizations and a million, you know, activist projects and stuff, because everyone says, oh, it'd be so great if we all did this, my idea, right? The only way is that we can really all unify is if we all do it around God's idea. Because that way no one's, you know, on top or below the other one. Everyone has a goal that's worth for, and it's not like, there's no ego in it. Just, you know, that's the only way. It's just like God has to be formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Otherwise, it won't work. Same idea.
So, focusing on God, huh? Rather than the seeing like the opposites, focusing on the evil by not realizing God is everything. And I think just like you said, when people try to unite, they try to unite by seeing something misused and make it an evil and unite under that, like those are bad guys, so we are good, let's unite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as you said, like
if
they just know themselves and, you know, follow the eternal divine path, and we can all, like, unite under God and with the common goal and knowing the goal of life. Yeah. All the problems, just like Maitreya said, like 99% of the problems are from ego. So how easy would it be, like, just to make things come back to, like, the normal, the middle path?
So let's do it.
Right, let's go. Sounds good. Well, I think we are at the end of our hour, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have an announcement to finish up.
All right.
Eunice, do you want to go ahead or should I?
Go ahead or should I?
Do the honors, please.
Okay. So the roundtable has made a decision to end the mom meeting. We will no longer be having these monthly sessions. There's not been enough interest overall, and the main purpose of these meetings was to find candidates for the roundtable, which has not really come to fruition at this point. So it seems, again, too premature at this time. We're going to be opening something else in replacement of this, possibly on Facebook, and also some other things that will take the place of this for the purposes. But this will be the last mom meeting. So I hope you guys enjoyed it while it lasted. And people are always welcome to start their own things like this and get together and, you know, discuss and all of that. But the mission's going to focus its resources on somewhere else. So we're going to open something else instead. So thank you all for coming. And any comments or anything?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
It's Tahira?
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to say thanks, God, to hear all your voices. Nice to see you, Brad, again, and Eunice. Say salam to Nayama and Noor, to Maitreya and Sarah G, and EJ. It's been good sharing these meetings, so we'll go on to something new. Shalom.
And ditto for me. Shalom.
Sounds good. See you guys in our new endeavor. Shalom.
Thanks, God. Shalom.
Shalom.